We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. If we were to have a testimony service and I would ask you, what is your favorite Bible verse? There is no doubt that there are some of you that would probably give this passage, these two verses, as your favorite. And we see them quoted a lot. They're preached on a lot. And they really speak a lot about what our faith should be. And as I told you last week, I am going to give you an opportunity to share something that maybe happened in your life where you really had to exhibit a large amount of faith and trust the Lord in spite of what you wanted to do, in spite of what your flesh wanted to do. You had to trust the Lord and do what he wanted you to do and leave the consequences to him. And I think Andrea is in that time right now. She's going through that. And that is not an easy thing to do because we have our views, we have our opinions, we have things that we believe should be done or should have been done. And so sometimes that clouds our faith and makes it a little more difficult. The reason is because we're human. I mean, let's face it, we're human beings, and as long as we're in this world, we are going to struggle, and we are not going to have a perfect faith. If you read through the Bible and you go through to that roll call of faith, those that were mentioned as having great faith, as an extra abundant faith, the heroes of the faith, every single one of them had times where they had failed. That's normal, but we just don't want that to be the predominance of our life. We need to have a life that shows trust and faith in God. So we're going to read that, and then I'm going to ask, and if nobody does, here's what's going to happen. If nobody wants to say anything regarding faith and how God maybe has worked in your life in faith, then I will go on, and it'll be a shorter message. I don't like short messages, all right? I think this is one that really would benefit from your input. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3, just a couple verses. I take that back. Let's start because it is very pertinent to verses 5 and 6. Let's start in verse number 1 of chapter 3. He said, "My son, forget not my law." All right, quick question. What is God's law? To you today, what is God's law? Huh? The Word of God. You're holding it. Either it's on your iPad, your iPhone, a Bible, a Kindle, whatever you have that's displaying the Word of God that we're reading right now, that is God's law. He said, "But let thine heart keep my commandments." Okay? Where are the commandments? You're holding them, right? Okay, we need to understand that. We're not talking about just, okay, God wants me to be a missionary. We're not talking about these kind of things, okay? We're talking about God's law, God's commandments, which you have in front of you. All right, so he says again, "My son, forget not my law, let not thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Verse number 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Let's read those last two verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Most of us probably have that memorized. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Father, as we look into your word today, Lord, we want to stop, and we just want to direct our attention to you. Lord, we do think of this time of the year. We have Vacation Bible School, a lot of effort, finances, a lot of planning has went into this. And Lord, if you do not add your part to this, it's all for nothing. Lord, we don't want to have a VBS for us workers, for us as a church, so that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, well, we did something good. No, this is for you. It's for your honor and glory. And Father, we ask, we beg, would you please bring in children for this VBS? Bring in lost families, unchurched families. And Father, we know that you can do all things. You can do anything. So Father, use us as instruments that we can minister to the hearts and lives of children and adults this week. Thank you for just what it has already done amongst us in working together and seeing this thing begin to take shape. But Father, again, may your Spirit work throughout this week, and may we have the children saved that you would have to be saved. May we have adults come and maybe even be saved because of what took place this week. And we will trust you in advance for what we know you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled the message today, The Roadmap to a Great Life. The roadmap to a great life. And when you look at this, you see that right in the central part of this, it says trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, the question is it possible to trust the Lord with all of your heart? Is that possible to do? The answer to that is yes. And the answer to that is no. Why would God ask us to do something that he didn't think we could do? Okay, is it possible to trust the Lord with all your heart? Yes. Is it possible to trust the Lord with all your heart all the time? Theoretically, yes. Practically, no. Because we live in a fallen world. We have distractions. We have things, as we learned in Sunday school today, that take our attention away from what is most important and the priorities of life. We have those things. So ideally, it would be great if we could all stay focused on the Lord and trust him moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, and just see what God will do. But that's a difficult thing to do because we live in this world. We live in a flawed body, corrupt body, and we have so many distractions around us all the time. So is it possible to trust in the Lord with all your heart? Yes and no. Yes and no. What happens when we do? When we truly put our trust in the Lord with all of our heart, we will see God do great and wonderful things. And I know personally, there have been times where I have failed, and there's been times where we trusted. And as I look, I see where God has tremendously blessed my life and my family because of faith. I see times in my life where my faith has been small and God's blessing has been small. So we want to talk about faith today. But before I go any further and get into the text and break it down and talk about this, is there anyone, and we're not going to take a lot of time, and if nobody jumps up, then we're just going to move right on. But is there anybody, maybe God has done something in your life that you've really had to trust him in a great way, and you've seen God come through and do something wonderful in your life? Anybody? Don't be bashful. All right, first. Then, all right, ladies first. All right, lost my mind for a second. Go ahead, Donna.
My younger son had cancer. It developed cancer, and it was cancer of the colon and cancer of the liver. And he's my baby. And I just was devastated, Bob and I both. And that same year, Bob got really sick. And it was just traumatic to us. But I have watched in these 3 years the miracles that God has done. And I want to give him the praise.
Amen. 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 And I know you shared with me last Sunday that you just knew God was going to heal your son. And he's still doing well.
Brian, you mentioned that about knowing that God was going to heal my son. You was sitting in the living room. Donna was sitting on the couch, and I was sitting in my little chair. And I looked at a picture on the wall, and we'd been talking about Steve and everything that he had gone through with his surgeries and everything. And I started to look back at you, and I heard this voice as plain as day say, "He's going to be all right." Now, I have had doubts, you know, that he was going to not be all right at times after that. And I always look back on that, and by me reflecting back on God's voice, which I do believe that it was, that he's going to be all right, that just brings me out of it. And all the tests that my son has had since then, and all the chemo that he's had, and his last test, it showed that everything is clearing up. The two spots on his liver that they went up through his groin into a main artery, down into his left lobe of his liver, which that's the only one he's got. And they inserted two radioactive beads, one in each one of them. And those two tumors are basically drying up. And he had some nodules on his lungs, but I don't think they're cancerous.
Amen.
But he, you know, just like I said, I always reflect back on that. And that just lifts me up and keeps me, you know, knowing that he's going to be all right.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for that. And I thank for all the prayers that the church has given us. It's really helped. Amen. And a lot of people think that, you know, prayers don't help, but they do.
Amen.
They absolutely do.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bob. I appreciate that. Yeah, you do.
Well, it goes back to Bob saying about prayer. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, and I believe that with all my heart. 4 years ago, about this month, it'll be 4 years, had seven times the amount of drugs in me to kill people. I mean, seven, the fatal amount. And in rehab, I heard, "Trust me and I'll set you free," plain as day. And the first word he said to me was trust. And I think as believers, sometimes if we're going through a struggle or going through a hard time, that we have a hard time trusting. Even if we're complacent, we have a hard time trusting. And I fail at times, but I trusted and I'm still trusting. And when I'm weak, I ask him for strength. When I'm struggling with my ignorance, I ask him for wisdom. But trusting in the Lord is the best thing that I've ever done, because I wouldn't be standing here today if I didn't. So I got a great family, church family here and otherwise, and I'm just thankful for the Lord. So if, I encourage anybody, if you're struggling, if you're going through a season right now, God's faithful. Give it to him and he'll set you free.
Amen. And I know he said a family, but it was a neat thing. Through all of that, he got a great wife. And if you all remember that time, that does go without saying. Amen. Amen. One more right now. Alex.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and give a testimony I haven't done in a long time. When I look at these verses in Proverbs, the verses there about lean on the Lord, not your own understanding. I didn't do these back when I went through these trials, but I've benefited from it greatly. But I'll give a testimony because God's worthy of it. Whenever it was 2005, I had a very good childhood friend who my son's named after was killed in Iraq. And although I was attending Faith Baptist Church and grew up in church, I I didn't understand. I was angry. I was bitter. Like I said, one of my most faithful friends, Jonathan Ederling, got killed, and I just couldn't understand why. I didn't understand it. I was angry. I was bitter. I really wasn't trusting God with it. I'm thankful that Faith Baptist Church was here, that I had a pastor who didn't give up. I had a pastor who was teaching, a pastor who showed compassion. I had family, and I was on my way to marrying my wife. We were engaged that year, but it was really a hard time for me personally, and I really struggled with it. And I'll ask that you continue to pray for John's parents, Bill and Kay Ederling. They have lost both their kids at this point in life, and they still struggle with a lot of that. I didn't understand why. Like I said, I was not exhibiting Proverbs, these verses here. I was not trusting in God. I wasn't doing that. But it has helped me to do that more later on in my life. The second thing that happened in quick succession was after we got married in August of 05, June, July of 06, Sam went in for a physical for her job. And just by the grace of God, when the doctor asked her, does anything else bother you, she said, well, my right thumb goes numb a lot. And they said, well, that's probably nothing, but we'll go ahead and schedule an MRI. And if you haven't heard the story from there, it went on. I found out she had, it was called a meningioma growing on her spinal cord. And it was pressing against her vertebrae and pinching, causing a lot of nerve damage. We started seeing specialists in Columbus. I think July 31st, I think I remember the date. We were up at Riverside, and Dr. Baldershot did her first surgery and cut the tumor away and had to do a lot of, cut through the back of her neck and everything else. And we thought, okay, we got through that. It was very intense, and then it grew back. In October of that year, it grew back. And at that point, that doctor and all his colleagues were not sure how to proceed with helping my wife. Once again, we are not a year into our marriage, and I'm looking at these surgeries and everything else and wondering why, just didn't understand. And then we proceeded on to, they moved us to Cleveland Clinic, and we saw a different doctor there in April of 07, where she had three more surgeries in a week's time, where they essentially had to cut through, close off one artery completely on her right side to keep her from bleeding whenever they went through to cut out the tumor. But through all that, I still didn't understand why. I didn't know why we had to go through it. I thought, God, can't we learn these lessons in life some other way? My wife's faith helped me immensely. I don't know if she remembers, but there was a day I had to return home because we were up there for like 2 weeks, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, and I had to leave. I had to come back, put in a few days at work, and take some more time off. And I remember leaving the hospital crying, bawling, because I felt like such a bad husband, and I left her, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and she was strong. She was strong through that. She still deals with a lot, aches and pains and all that hurt. And like I said, through all that, I was nowhere. God wasn't blessing because I was obedient. God just blessed because God was good.
Amen.
He wasn't, okay, Alex Watts, you got this down. You're trusting me. I'm going to bless you. Just out of the abundance of his grace, he blessed.
Amen.
And he taught me so much through that. He's taught my wife so much through that. Like I said, to go back there, I still probably would ask God to teach us some other way, but that's the way he chose for us. And I know I'm better off for it now. I know there's some days Sam would probably still question with the aches and pains that she goes through every day, just going through that. But he has taught us to trust in him. There's so many things in life that happen that you just, it doesn't seem right. We all want a God who, says, okay, I'm going to give you an easy life. And God doesn't promise us that. Christ never did. And following him is not easy. And so learning that early on, I'm thankful for it. Thankful that God just, in spite of me, he chose to bless me in ways that I will probably never realize just how much God loved and blessed me. So.
Amen. Amen. Perfect. And that's what we're talking about, trusting the Lord. So let's jump into our text. Maybe as if we go along, we can have another testimony or two if God has laid that on your heart. Let's look at, before we get into the text, I want you to see the background here, because the background of this passage helps us to understand what Solomon is talking about. First of all, verse 1 of chapter 3, he addresses this to who? His son. His son. That kind of tells us the age group. Okay, his son was a young man named Rehoboam. Rehoboam was going to take over the kingdom, and he was going to take over for his father. And he knew, Solomon knew, the greatest thing that Rehoboam could have was wisdom. And so he's trying to impart to this young man wisdom. Now, here's something that we need to understand, that God wants young people to be wise. And the reason he does this, and I think every single one of you that are over 30 or over 40 would probably say, like me, I wish I would have known at 20 what I know now. I wish I would have been as smart or spiritual at 20 as I am now. It would have saved me a lot of mistakes. It would have saved me a lot of heartache and headache. Amen? I think we all would say that. I do. I wish I was, in some ways, the man then that I am now as a husband and a father, as a leader, because I would have been much better. It's important that we understand that these lessons that Solomon is giving, that in the first third of this book, they're addressed to young people. Why? Because young people need it more than any. Why? Because young people are making decisions to determine the path and direction of their life, and the more wisdom that can be infused into those decisions, the better the path, the better the road will be. Those of you in that side of the room, you need all the wisdom you can get. Life's tough. A lot of decisions that you are making right now, for the next few years of your life, what am I going to do for a living for 30, 40 years? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? Where am I going to go to church? Where am I going to serve in a church? Those are some of the most important decisions. Why? Because they set you on a path. They set you on a direction. Now, as we get older, moms and dads, our life will veer kind of a little bit different. I look around and I see some of you have had career changes. You've had maybe some things happen in your life. But pretty much by the time you were 25 to 28, maybe 30 tops, you had a direction that you were going. All right, when was that established? You don't realize this. Most of that was established when you were young, when you were a child, when you were a teenager. The things that you learned, the things that your parents instilled in you, the lessons you learned from God's word help bring you to where you are on that path. So we need to understand this, that this lesson of faith, like Alex. Alex was a 20-some-year-old young man who was learning a very important lesson. Billy, a relatively young person, learning a very important lesson that would change the course of their life forever. And so these things that we're learning as young people, listen, learn to trust God now. Don't wait till you get to be 30, 40, 50 years old to start trusting God, because if that's the case, there's going to be a lot of headache and heartache. Verses 5 and 6 are really in the context of this. So when we talk about trusting the Lord, it's for young. But it's also the idea, he talks about the law and he talks about the commandments. So predominantly, trusting in the Lord here is about trusting in the Lord with what you know. What do you know? You told me earlier, God's word. If we can learn to trust God with his word, I'm telling you, everything else will fall into place. Then we can trust him in other areas of our life. Then we can trust him with the plan that he has. But first of all, we need to learn to trust the Lord with his commandments, with his law. The things that God says, this is what you're to do, this is what you're not to do. Trust him with those things. Also, I believe this. I said this 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I'm going to change this a little bit. This particular proverb comes with a promise. Remember I told you proverbs aren't promises, they're wise sayings? But inside some of these proverbs are promises. And we can know the difference between a wise saying and a proverb simply because a promise from a proverb is a promise is backed up in scriptures elsewhere. For instance, I'll give you a proverb part of this. He talks about verse number 4, if thou seekest her wisdom as silver and searchest her, no, I'm in the wrong chapter. Here, verse 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall be they add to thee. In other words, he's saying, listen, if you will follow the word, you'll live long. Okay, that's not really what he's saying because there's a lot of good Christians that have died young. Okay, that's the proverb. But the verses 5 and 6 are more of a promise. If you trust the Lord with all of your heart and you don't lean into your own understanding and all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. I believe that's a promise. That is a promise in this proverb. All right, so let's just look at this now. We'll break it down. Number one, trust in the Lord. He said, trust in the Lord. Before you and I receive Christ as our Savior, before we receive Christ, trusting was not something that was natural for you. The reason being is this trust, this faith, is not a human characteristic. It is a divine characteristic. It is a divine gift from God. 1 Peter chapter 1, or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, talk about, we're not going to go to them for sake of time, they talk about faith being a gift that God gives those of us. I believe he gives everybody a gift of faith. That is to trust him initially with your salvation, to trust in Christ as your Savior. That's something that he gives each and every person, that little bit of saying, hey, you can trust me. God gives everyone that gift, that little bit to say, hey, I am going to trust. It's not a personal work. It's a gift from God. The ability to trust him with your salvation, your eternal destiny. Now, once you get saved, things change. Once you get saved, you have the nature of God in you. You have Christ in you. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And a part of that divine nature is trust. It's faith. So it's not that you're waiting for God to give you enough faith to trust in him. You've done that. He moves in, and now it would be your natural tendency, spiritual natural tendency, because what? Our character has changed. We've went from dead in trespasses and sin to alive or quickened in Christ. We've been made alive. Being made alive means Christ is in me, Holy Spirit. Now I have in me, because I have God in me, the ability to trust. And again, it's still a gift from God. It's still something that God gives us. But now it's something that we can do readily, more easily. Now, here's the problem, though. Because when you get saved, that doesn't just take away everything that you've had for the past 10 years, 30 years, 50 years. You're still dealing with things that were in your life. You still deal with the presence of indwelling sin. You still deal with the flesh, your desires. They're still there. You have to deal with those. And so while we are bent as lost people this way towards no faith, when we get saved, we're bent the other way, which is towards God and to have faith. But we still struggle in that. So he said, trust in the Lord. Why? Because you can. You can. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved, you can trust in God because God has given you a measure of faith to believe him, to trust in him for the things that you know he wants you to do. We trust God with our life. Why? Why should we trust God? And I think Alex made mention of this. Let me give you five things real quick. Why we can, why we must trust God. Number one, God is good. And God just isn't good when things are going good. God is good because God is good. He's God. And God doesn't just say, well, I'm going to be good to you sometimes, or I'm going to be bad to you at other times. God is good, and God is good all the time. God, listen to this, number two, God cannot respond to you in a way that is outside of his nature and character. God cannot react to you in a mean, bad way. God cannot, out of hatred, react to what you do. That's not his nature. We'll never find in Scripture, believer, where God ever hates a believer. Now, we are told the sinner, God takes out his wrath upon the sinner. God never takes out his wrath upon his children. Never. That's important to know. Sometimes when bad things happen, why is God doing this? No, God's not doing this. He may be allowing it to happen. God is not doing this. Sometimes he allows things to happen because God can't do wrong. God can't do bad. Number three, God loves you faithfully, unconditionally, and sacrificially. He just loves you. And so he cannot do anything bad. God will always do for you and to you what is best for you. We say, why does this happen? Why does my best friend die in Iraq? Why does my wife at 20-some year old dealing with the things? Why does a little baby have to go through what that little baby had to go through? Why does not seven times the lethal amount of drugs kill that man right there? Why does God give a man like Steve cancer and then heals him from it? Why? We ask that question, why? But we've got to keep this in mind. Everything that God does, he does because he loves you. So then what does that do? That changes our perspective of things. You know, why is it that bad things happen? Well, because we live in this world, we live in sin, but also because God loves us and he's teaching us, he's training us, he's growing our faith. And we have to be willing to accept that. Number five. I thought there was a number five. Yes. God, listen to this. This is huge. Listen, now this is good. You might want to write this down. God does not make mistakes. So when you're going through that tough time and you've got to trust the Lord more than you ever have, God doesn't make mistakes. God loves me. God is sovereign. This is for my good. That helps in our faith. That helps us to trust him. Number two, he says, with all thy heart, with all of your heart. So he said, one, trust me. Then number two, second part of that verse, with all thine heart. All right, so here's how God qualifies it. There is something, and it's in Scripture, Revelation chapter 3 or 4. He talks about the Laodicean church. He talks about those who were cold, those were hot. And he said, you're lukewarm. And he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. And he says, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Okay, there is a believer who trusts in the Lord with all of your heart, and then there's believers who have a half-hearted faith. And listen, let me just say this. A half-hearted faith is not a great faith. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, James chapter 1, he talks about faith, let him ask of God, not wavering, and then he goes on to say, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James says this. He said, there's no such thing as a half-hearted faith. It's either you trust the Lord or you don't. Because if it's a 50-50 thing, that's not trust. Wow. So you mean when I'm doubting, that means I'm not trusting. You got it. Even if I'm doubting just a little bit. But stop and think about it. How far are you from doubting 25% to 100% believing? a month away, 2 months away? Or can that be a moment away? Do we take these thoughts captive that has doubt and fears and worry about them, and we say, God, take those away. I don't understand it, but I know it's right. I know it's for my good. I know it's because you love me and you're letting me go through this. So I trust you. This is what you have for me. You've gone from doubts to faith almost that quick. It's not necessarily a progression or a process, but we can go from little faith to great faith really quick by changing our mindset, changing what we think. You cannot have a half-hearted faith and expect to please God. It's not going to happen. Adam didn't when he ate the fruit. Cain didn't when he brought the wrong offering. Abram didn't when he left Canaan and went to Egypt. The Israelites didn't when they listened to the 10 spies. Moses didn't when he struck the rock for the second time instead of speaking to it. King Saul didn't when he disobeyed God. David didn't when he took another man's wife. There were times in their lives where they exhibited a half-hearted faith. And in those times, things didn't go well. Things didn't go well. God wants a fully functioning faith. When is our faith half-hearted? I wrote some things down just randomly. When you struggle to be in church, when you don't serve the Lord, if you never talk about Christ, if you constantly complain about your life, if you don't study and pray in your life, if you're always finding fault with other people, if you're always angry, if you're always worried constantly, that's a half-hearted faith. And God says, trust in me, trust in God. Solomon said, trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. And listen, folks, it's not that hard. It is, but it's not. It is, and you say, well, man, preacher, you don't understand. I do understand. Trust me. Trust me. I understand. We have been through this. Stacy and I have been through. I mean, let's face it. How often do you just pack up everything that you have, move 100 miles south to a place where you hardly know anyone at all, and try to plant a church? I mean, most people would say, and most people did say, that's crazy. I knew God wanted me in the ministry. I struggled for 3 years. You know why? Because I had a half-hearted faith. When I had someone come up to me and say, you know, I heard you're wanting to go into ministry, he said, I've spent enough time around you. You ought to consider something else. Wow. The man told me, he said, maybe you ought to consider being a missionary and going and building things somewhere, because preaching's not going to be your thing. Wow, that hurt. And I haven't spoke to that guy since. I wanted to go back and say, take that. But that would be prideful. And I can't do that. All right. Number three, lean not unto thy own understanding. Lean not unto thy own understanding. What's your own understanding? Understanding, remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago, it's arranging the pieces. When we arrange the pieces, Proverbs talks about understanding, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Understanding is the thing where we take God's knowledge and arrange it together and help the picture to come out like it's like putting a puzzle together. We're able to put this together and make it look like what it's supposed to, Jesus, okay? That's what understanding does. It puts it together. Wisdom lives it out. So he said, lean not into thy own understanding. Here's the thing about that that caught my attention. He said, your own. He didn't say, well, according to how the world views it. He said, your own understanding. And here's the way I interpret that. Each and every one of us have our own understanding. Every single one of us in this room, we grew up different. We grew up in different families. We grew up with different fathers and moms and neighborhoods and communities and schools. We had different friends. We had different influences. And how you grow up and all of those things that are in your life determines how you look at things, how you interpret things, how you put the pieces of life together. For instance, Alex, I'll use him. Alex was like, you know, I don't understand, God. Why would you take my best friend who hasn't had an opportunity to be married and have a family? It's not right. He could say this, it's not right for parents to bury their children. And I would agree to that. And I hope and pray that never happens with me. So his understanding is that doesn't fit what I know. So we have to look, we have to be careful not to lean. You know what the word lean means? That's leaning. To put weight on your understanding, your interpretation of life's events. He said, don't do that. Instead, God took his friend. I don't understand why. I don't understand God's purpose and God's reason, but God did that. And I've got to trust him that that's the best thing. My wife has to go to the hospital at 20-some years of age and have things removed. I don't understand that. I don't understand why a young lady has cancer, has leukemia. I don't understand that. It just doesn't, it's not the way, that doesn't fit. It doesn't compute. But listen, he says, don't lean on your understanding. Trust him. Trust God. Because it's all not going to fit the way you want it to. If you've not learned, life doesn't always go the way you want it to. How many's realized this? It just doesn't go right. It just, nothing ever works the way I want it to. And I'm the type of person, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like it when things, I have my plans and I want my plans to work. You know, I don't know why a 50-year-old man has to have heart surgery. I don't understand that. He's 50 years old. God had a reason for it. Now, it'd be an easy thing to do to say, God, why are you doing this to me? But I find it interesting that God brought him to Southern Ohio to work in a church and sit next to, almost on a regular basis, a heart surgeon. The irony, I mean, can you imagine that? And Rick feels like God wants him to go back to Brookville. So he takes off work. He's off for the whole month of June. In that time, he's going to drive a bus. What is he going to do? He's got to have a physical to drive a bus. You got to have a physical to have a CDL license to drive a school bus. So he goes and he gets the physical. And when he gets the physical, they say, you got a heart murmur. Yeah, you need to get that checked. So he goes to his doctor, Dr. Ramey. Dr. Ramey says you need to be checked out a little bit further, sends him for a stress test. He didn't do the stress test. We're going to do a heart cath. They go in, do a heart cath, find out he not only has a bad valve, but he's got a 90% blockage. And almost within a week, and this is unheard of, and maybe Marion, this is something that happens all the time, but unless you are taken to the hospital with a heart attack in an ambulance, you usually don't have surgery within a week. Is this normal? This isn't normal, is it? No. How did that happen? I wonder. Huh? This is God. Trust. And Rick is, I don't know, what am I going to do? Do I have this? Do I not have this? No, wait a minute. God opened the door. He worked it all out. You better have this done. Incredible. That is a God thing. Wow. But his understanding would have been, hey, I'm 50 years old. Why am I having this? Oh, wait a minute. Things are moving too fast. Let's stop. Let's wait. Let's get a second, a third, a fourth opinion because I'm too young. Oh, no. What do I do here? What do I do there? No, what did he do? He put his trust in people that knew more than he did, and doing so, he's putting his trust in the Lord. Wow. What a living lesson, how God works. So, lean not unto your understanding. Don't go by what you think. Go by what God says. There's several examples of this that we see. Listen, living together may seem like the right thing to do, but God says don't. Premarital relationships. Well, you know, does God really? Yes, don't do it. And when you say, that's wisdom, I don't like it, and I want to do something different, but God says, don't do that, then don't do that. My understanding says it's okay. I live in a culture that says it's okay. I live in a world that says it's okay. So what's wrong with that? God says, don't. My understanding, it's all right. God says, no, it didn't. Don't do it. Who are you going to trust? The Lord? Here's another one. Church is not that important. Why is church so important? I don't see why I need to be there every week. I don't understand that. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus loved the church and did what? I think something that Jesus died for would be important. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not. Do you think it's important to be here? Yeah. You can choose to be here, or you can find any reason in the world not to. You can lean into your own understanding. But that's not going to work. Let's move on. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. All right, now this one's tough, because he didn't say in your way acknowledge him. He said in all thy ways. The word ways means course or road. In all your courses, in all of your roads, in all of your travels, what? Acknowledge him. Now, before we get to the acknowledge, let's talk about in all your ways. All right, how many ways do you have? Give me some of your ways. Give me some of your roads in life. Huh? Your job. Thank you. Your job. That's a way. When it comes to your job, you need to acknowledge him. You need to put him first. He needs to be the center. What else? Family, good. In your family, he needs to be the center. You need to acknowledge him in your family. Give me another one. Marriage, good. It ain't about what you want. It's about what God says. Acknowledge him in your marriage. Give me another one. Church, it ain't about what I believe in church. What does God say? Acknowledge him in church. What else? Huh? Friendships. Good. What else? Where you live. Good. Give me the elephant in the room. That's a good one. That wasn't what I had in mind. But yes, that's good. Money. What does God say? Not what you want. What does God say? That's a way. How about the elephant and the donkey in the room? Can I be more blunt than that? Politics. Ooh, preacher, wait a minute. You know, it's amazing to me. We've got different boxes, and everybody's box that they don't want God in is politics. It's good to laugh about that one, isn't it? We've got all kinds of ways, but in every single one of those, your personal life, your thought life, the things you read, what you watch on television, what your phone goes to, what your iPad, everything, where you drive to, what you do, who you're friends with, who you marry, every single one of those are your ways, part of your ways. What he said, huh? Social media. No amens for that one. So what is it? In all your ways, everything that you do, all of your paths that you walk every single day, acknowledge him. What does God say about that? Well, is it really that important? Yes, it is. Study to show thyself approved. What does he say about your way of Bible study? Should you or should you not? Yes. Do you? Well, I just don't have time. All thy ways. Acknowledge him. And folks, there is thousands of ways. He said, in all of them, acknowledge him. Put God where he needs to be. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And what? He shall direct thy path. Path there is your life. What did he say? Let's look at that. Because I'm pretty sure, and I should have looked ahead of time, he said, and he shall direct thy paths. So the ways that you go, he'll direct them. You want to know who to marry? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all the ways, acknowledge him. And guess what? He'll direct that path of marriage. Where do I go to school? He'll do that one too. What kind of family are you to have? He'll take care of that one. Where you go to church? He'll do that too. What do you do in church? What kind of service? He takes care of that too. Where you work, where you play, what you watch. All you got to do, trust him with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Because we don't know everything, folks. God is omniscient. He knows it all. He knows what's best. Follow him. Do what he says. That is the most important thing you can do. And when you do that, when you've got that working, here's what's going to happen. He'll direct thy path, paths, and that will be the best path for you. That will be the path that brings you more joy, more peace, more contentment, more happiness than any path you can take. But the world says, their understanding says, live it up. Eat, drink, and be merry, for you don't know when you're going to die. Enjoy life. That's the world's understanding. That's our understanding. But that's not what God says. You want to have a great life? That path walks through Jesus. You've got to trust him for your salvation, and you have to trust him for your life. Father, thank you for the truths of your word. Lord, I am so thankful that we can rest in some things and know that your word is true, and Father, some principles that we can live our lives by, and this is one of them. Lord, help each and every one of us, number one, if we're not saved, to trust you with our eternal salvation, our eternal destiny. If there's one here this morning that doesn't know Christ, may they today make the decision to accept him before it's too late. Maybe for those that are here that are believers and they would say, well, you know, I've got my ways and I've got my understanding and I want to follow that. Lord, help us, help me to understand your ways and what you desire for me is better than anything that I could come up with on my own. Help me not to lean on my understanding but yours. Help me to, in every area of my life, acknowledge you and your right to rule and reign in every single area of my life. And then when I do that, I know you're going to direct me where you would have me to go, what you would have me to do, and you're going to give me a life that I could never have with my own understanding. So, Father, we'll praise you for what you do. And Lord, your word tells us that if we just have the faith of a mustard seed, we could see mountains move. So help us to trust you with our hearts, all of our hearts, and see spiritual mountains move. In Jesus' name, amen.